Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Oh, so good to see you. Sorry. God is good. Wow. All right. Well, it was wonderful to be here this morning to worship the Lord together. Those gathered here, those gathered online. A little bit of where we will be going in the weeks and a couple months ahead. I mentioned last week that our next book study will be in the book of Hosea. We go back to the Old Testament and we kind of go back and forth, New Testament book, Old Testament book. So having come to the Gospel of John, we will look at the book of Hosea, in which we will see God's radical, deep, abiding love for his people, even when we are unfaithful to him. But between now and then, there's a couple of, we're going to do a different sermon this morning. We're going to look at Psalm 107, look at God's great provision for us. Next week, Michael will be preaching. The following week will be our family Thanksgiving celebration, so we will look at giving thanks to the Lord. Then the following week, Jonathan Nambu, Thelma and Jonathan from the Philippines will be here, and he will be preaching for us. And then it's Advent. Whoa, what? How'd that happen? Huh? So that's coming up very, very quickly. So that's where we'll be going for the rest of the year. And then beginning in the new year, we will look at the prophet Hosea. Let's go to the Lord now in prayer. Father God, we come before you through Jesus Christ our Lord. We come before you as a people in great need of your mercy, of your provision, of your love, of your power, of your forgiveness, Lord. Lord, with life being so upside down most of the time, we pray, Lord, that you would strengthen us this morning by the working of your Holy Spirit within us, that you would flame faith within us in you, that you would turn our hearts, our minds, our bodies to you, Lord Jesus, that in the midst of health struggles and relationship struggles and financial struggles, Lord, that in the midst of different events that happen in our lives, some circumstances that are outside of our control, some because of our own sinful choices, Lord, would you please come and rescue and redeem and provide, Lord God, for us, your people? Lord, would you please, in this time as we open your word, would you open our eyes and our ears that we would see and hear Christ? We would look to him, we would believe, we would trust, and we would hope in Jesus Christ, Lord God. And in all of this, Lord, would you be glorified in us and through us, Lord God, that we may leave here as your people, as your children, Lord, bringing the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ into a hurting and dying world that we will encounter all this week, Father. Be glorified. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, turn with me, please, to Psalm 107. Psalm 107. It's a really interesting psalm, not that any of them aren't, but this one seems to capture our attention. It has some wonderful repetitions in it, has some wonderful kind of four different stanzas that have a wonderful refrain at the end of each one of them, and really are describing what happens when things go wrong in our lives. And we cry out to the Lord, and it speaks to God's redemption and his love always and forever. It's the beginning of the last section of Psalms called book five. The Psalms are broken up into five books. And it does in some ways flow off of Psalm 106, but it is the beginning of the last section and stands alone. So let's read, follow along with me, please, as I read Psalm 107. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from trouble and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Some wandered in desert wastes, finding no way to a city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way till they reached a city to dwell in. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. For he satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul he fills with good things. Some sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in affliction and in irons, for they had rebelled against the words of God and spurned his counsel of the counsel of the Most High. So he bowed their hearts down with hard labor. They fell down with none to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and burst their bonds apart. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of men. For he shatters the doors of bronze and cuts in two the bars of iron. Some were foolish through their sinful ways, and because of their iniquities suffered affliction. They loathed any kind of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He sent out his word and healed them, and delivered them from their destruction. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. And let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of his deeds in songs of joy. Some went down to the sea in ships, doing business on the great waters. They saw the deeds of the Lord, his wondrous works in the deep. For he commanded and raised the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. They mounted up to heaven. They went down to the depths. Their courage melted away in their evil plight. They reeled and staggered like drunken men and were at their wits' end. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad that the waters were quiet, and he brought them to their desired haven. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. Let them extol him in the congregation of the people, and praise him in the assembly of the elders. He turns rivers into a desert, springs of water into thirsty ground, a fruitful land into a salty waste because of the evil of its inhabitants. He turns a desert into pools of water, a parched land into springs of water. And there he lets the hungry dwell, and they establish a city to live in. They sow fields and plant vineyards and get a fruitful yield. By his blessing, they multiply greatly, and he does not let their livestock diminish. When they are diminished and brought low through oppression, evil, and sorrow, he pours contempt on princes and makes them wander in trackless wastes. But he raises up the needy out of affliction and makes their families like flocks. The upright will see it and are glad, and all wickedness shuts its mouth. Whoever is wise, let him attend to these things. Let them consider the steadfast love of the Lord. This is God's word. We have the call here. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let those who have been redeemed by God, who have been pulled out of distress, whether it's self-inflicted distress or it's one's circumstances beyond our control, whether it's physical distress that we're in or it's eternal distress because of our sinful separation from God, when the Lord redeems us, let us, his people, proclaim it to the world. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. The psalm opens in verses 1-3 with an introduction here. And in the introduction, we get this picture of the Israelites returning from exile. The rest of the psalm and the situations are not specific to any one historical event. Sometimes psalms are tied to a historical event. This one does not necessarily, I mean, the rest of the body doesn't appear to be, but this introduction does appear to be referring to when the Israelites were led forth out of the 70-year captivity in Babylon and from their exile, and they returned to the land of Israel. And a lot of these things that are describing here could be descriptions of just different ways of looking at the plight that they faced in captivity, their distress that they were under. They also are very applicable to everyday situations in our lives also. So he begins with, oh, give thanks to the Lord. Why? Again, with God, it's always enough for him just to tell us what to do, right? He could just say, give thanks to God. You go, okay, God said so, we do that, all right. But God never does that. He always tells us why. The why acts as a strengthening, an encouragement to us, an empowering truth that enables us to do what is commanded. And here it says, for he is good. But God, my circumstances are so bad and I keep crying out to you and you haven't saved me yet. How can I say you are good? He's going to go on to describe and show historically how he works to show, to give examples, to build a foundation for the truth that God is good all the time. His steadfast love endures forever. And then there's our command, therefore let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from trouble. In verse 3, as we get this idea of where it looks like it's after the exile, coming out of the exile, where it says he redeemed them from trouble and he gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. It's not definite that that's referring to return from exile, but it appears to be that way. God calling his people back to Israel. Well, now we have these four stanzas here of four different types of trouble that people go through. First, in verses 4-9, we see that some wander aimlessly. And in this situation, they're wandering in the desert. Now, this obviously harkens back, of course, to the time when Moses led the people out of Egypt and they wandered in the wilderness those 40 years. And I love here, this comes up again in the end in the celebration of God's work here. But one of the problems that is being described by this group here who wanders, they're in the desert, which of course sounds terrible. You're wandering around the desert, but they couldn't find what? A city. They couldn't get to a city in which to dwell. They couldn't get to a place where there would be safety and community and resources. They couldn't find it. And so they were hungry and they were thirsty, this is verse 5, and their soul fainted away within them. We've all probably seen movies, right, of someone just wandering in the desert. And, you know, there's a mirage and it turns out to be fake and they have no water, they have no way to travel and they're alone. And there is no refuge, no city in which they can come to eat and to drink, that they are lost. There's no signpost in the desert. There's no roads to follow, that they are lost. I want you to hold on to that for a while. And this group here, the people are lost. Well, in their lostness, then, what do they do? Verse 6, then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. Here's the resolution of what he did. He led them by a straight way till they reached a city to dwell in. He gives them that refuge, that place of safety, that place where they can have their needs met, as he spells out specifically in verse 9, for he satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul he fills with good things. So they cry, they're in trouble. They cry out to God. God answers them. God rescues them. God redeems them. And the call then is in response to that, verse 8, let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of men. We don't know how long they're referring to, you know, wandering in the wilderness here. If this is referring to or alluding to the historical event of Moses leading the Israelites out of Egypt, we know that was 40 years. So it's not an instant resolution, but God in his goodness, God in his faithfulness, rescued the people who cried out to him and filled them with good things. They were lost, and now they have been found by the Lord. Well, the next group are some people who reject God's word, who sin against God, who actively make the choice of rebellion against God. Verses 10 through 16 says, some sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in affliction and in irons, for they had rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. And so in judgment upon them, God bowed their hearts down with heavy labor. They fell down from the weight of their labor, of this judgment, and there was no one to help them. But even these folks, it would be so easy for us to say, well, you get what you deserve. You rebel against God. You're experiencing his judgment. Tough. But even when it's their own fault, even when there's an act of rebellion against God's word, look what happens. Verse 13. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He brought them out of the darkness and the shadow of death, and burst their bonds apart. The picture there of them being captive in prison, in chains and in prison here. He rescued them. But they didn't deserve it. No kidding. And none of us do. It is by grace that we are saved, that none may boast. That it is not our works. It's not because we're better than someone else that we believe. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, it's not because we're smarter, not because we're more godly, not because we had an upright life in some ways and make good choices. There, but by the grace of God, go I. Every one of us has sinned against the Lord and are undeserving of his grace. But he is gracious. Even those who rebel, when they call upon the Lord, he rescues them. He redeems them. And the same response is called for then as were in the people who wandered in verse 15. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. He shatters the door of bronze and cuts into the bars of iron. So he's setting them free. He's setting the captive free. The third group says some were fools. Some were, and in the Bible, when it speaks of fools, that means a sinful person. Verse 17 through 22, some were fools through their sinful ways, and because of their iniquities, suffered affliction. They loathed any kind of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. So here we have people who are, again, actively, even seems more intensified, and their active rebellion against God, choosing their sinful ways against God, and they suffer affliction because of it. That there is a judgment, again, that's coming upon them because of their iniquities. There are times when God chastens those he loves as a way to bring us back when we have rebelled. We have no indication of what status these people were before their foolish acts, their sinful ways. We see that in their utter rebellion. It's an interesting characterization it has here of them, I think. It says they loathe any kind of food. That's physical food or spiritual food. It's not explicitly called out here. But again, that will, I think, we'll wrap that together in the end there. Just as we said there were some who were lost. Here we have some who were hungry. Back up, there was also some who were thirsty. And in their distress, in their misery, as they acknowledge, once they begin to realize the condition, just like the prodigal son, right? As he began to realize his condition and what he has done and that it's his fault, what his choices have led him to. So as he comes to himself and he goes to the Father, and it's a similar thing as these people do here in verse 19. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He sent out his word, and he healed them and delivered them from their destruction. The response for God's salvation, for God's rescuing, for God's redemption here is the same as the last two. Verse 21, let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. Let them offer sacrifices and thanksgiving and tell of his deeds in songs of joy. As part of our response to God's helping us, redeeming us, saving us, rescuing us, is that we got to go tell the world. We got to tell people how God has been good to us. How in his mighty power he has rescued us. A fourth and final group are some are swept up by their circumstances, things that were outside of their control. Verses 23 to 32. Here in this group here, it says some went down to the sea in ships doing business in great waters. So they're going about their life. They're doing business, right? Just going to work every day. And a great storm overtakes them. And they are terrified that they are going to die. They have no control over it. There's no indication here that this is a judgment from God, that they have sinned and this is the consequence of their sin. No, they're just going about their day. And something terrible is happening to them. Something terrible that they can't stop. That's one of the most amazing things about the sea. With all of our mighty ability and technology, and we are mighty. We are mighty by God's grace. To create, to invent, and yet there are things that are greater, things that are more mighty. And I believe that is important for us to remember that we are creature, not creator. How terrifying it would be to be in a ship when a mighty storm comes and you can't get out of it, you can't control, and the waves are coming down and you're going to be destroyed. In the midst of this, verse 28, then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He came and he rescued them when they called out, when they cried out to him. And his solution, maybe this will ring some bells as we think about Jesus. Verse 29, he made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. Jesus in the boat with his disciples. Very similar situation. He's asleep in the boat. The disciples are terrified of the storm that comes up. Jesus, because he is the Son of God, he speaks, and the storm and the waves and the wind cease. For all of creation must obey the Lord Jesus Christ. They are overjoyed, verse 30, then they were glad that the waters were quiet, and he brought them to their desired haven. Another picture, it doesn't say city, but another picture there of God's redemption and rescuing, bringing them to someplace safe, a city, a haven, where they are no longer in danger. Same response is called for in verse 31. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. Distress, cry out to God. God rescues, we give him praise. We give him praise and tell the world. Well, the last part of this passage now, verses 33 to 43, just simply declares that God reigns, that God is the one in control, that God is the one who turns springs and rivers into dry land. And says that in verses 33. He does this, it says, because of the evil of its inhabitants. This is another act of judgment. But God is also the one who looks at his children who are in distress, and he takes the desert and fills it with water. He takes the barren land and brings forth fruit from it and causes trees and crops to grow, that he causes the flocks and the herds to multiply as his blessing, as his care for his people. That God takes the evil and the mighty and he brings them low, verse 39. But that those who are needy, those who are afflicted, he raises them up, verse 41 and 42. And it closes here then with, whoever is wise, let him attend to these things. Let's consider these things. Distress, cry out to God, God's rescue, and we then praise him. Let them consider the steadfast love of the Lord. Remember in the very beginning, the psalm opened with, the Lord is good. How do we know this? Look at how he rescues his people. Look at how he redeems us from trouble. Whether it's our individual troubles that we go through, whether it's our collective troubles as his people, or whether it's our eternal trouble of our separation from him because of our sin. That he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for us, that all who believe in him are saved, are rescued, are redeemed, not because of our goodness and righteousness, but because of Jesus' righteousness. How can it be? I want to call attention here to this section, one little part of this section here of God reigning in verses 33 through 43. Part of the blessing that he gives to the people, okay? This description of how he saves those who are afflicted if you read verse 35 and 36 together here. Here are the things he does. He turns the desert into pools of water. So the thirsty, he satisfies. The parched land into springs of water. And there he lets the hungry dwell, so the hungry are fed, and they establish a city to live in. That's part of God's blessing, provision for us, is he gathers us together for protection. And it's a picture there of heaven. We look at Revelation chapter 21. I'll get there. Revelation chapter 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. There shall be no more mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." He brings the city, and then he dwells within the city. That's a picture of heaven, the safety of the city, which God has brought us to. And it's not just a random place. He dwells in the midst. We will dwell with God, and God will dwell with us for all eternity. What distress are we going to face this week? Maybe you're experiencing it right now. What distress are we going to encounter? Are those in our family, those in our community, those in our workplaces, those in our schools going to face this week? And the sufferings are real. God invites us to consider his steadfast love for us, that crying out to him, he rescues us. We may not understand the timing, we may not understand the way, but it is very real. His rescue is very real. And he is leading all who call upon him, all who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, he is leading home to heaven. He is with us now, forever, through suffering, through joy. He never leave us. He'll never forsake us. Nothing can take us out of his hand. Thank the Lord for his steadfast love, now and forevermore. Let's pray. Oh, Father God, I pray that in our distress this week, whatever it is, that we would call upon you, and Lord, we would see your hand at work to rescue and redeem us. I pray, O Lord God, that either we yet here who do not know you, or those we will encounter this week who do not yet know you, Lord, that we may tell of your goodness to them, that we may know of your goodness ourselves, and thus come to you in faith, and by your grace, O Lord God, would you forgive our sins, that we may be born again. Strengthen and encourage us this week, O God, that we would trust in you and give you thanks. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.